in the studio that have been with us before. We're bringing them on early, and we're going to actually work through the news. Mike Bozak and James Brock, heading the No Hospital Downtown Group, or at least two men that are very instrumental in the No Hospital Downtown Group, without the hysteria. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning, Rocco.
And what... It's off. What brings you in?
All kinds
Other
of things.
It's a beautiful Monday morning.
It certainly is.
Well, Rocco, one of the most exciting things that brings us in is our group, No Hospital Downtown, open to the public tomorrow night, 6 p.m. at the Fort Schuyler. We're bringing in a very famous author and lecturer on all things urban. Three of his books, The City in Mind, Home from Nowhere, and The Geography of Nowhere. The famous author and lecturer James Howard Kunstler will be at the Fort Schuyler, 6 p.m. Tuesday in downtown Utica. And unlike our opposition, our meetings are open to all.
How did you get him to come here?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we started to talk to James because his life has been dedicated to urban settings and cities and to the kinds of things that are going on in Utica right now. And we started a dialogue with him over a year ago. Just about 2 weeks ago, he called and said, you know what? I've studied it. I've read your materials. We constantly had sent him different things. He said, I think it's time I come and share some thoughts with the citizens of Utica and Oneida County. I've got to tell you something. Regardless of whether you're for this thing, against it, or whether you're sitting on the fence, you don't want to miss James Kunstler.
Yeah, this is quite a catch.
Absolutely. I've known Jim for many years. I've read many of his books and met him on a couple of occasions. He is dynamite. He's a wonderful speaker. He's so well spoken and so knowledgeable of the topic. And his Geography of Nowhere, I think, was a bellwether book for me. It really was an eye-opener because it really clarified and justified a lot of the things that I believed for 40 years.
Because there's all of this hullabaloo, because people do things you can't control, where does everything stand now from your perspective, aside from all of the noise that goes on?
Well, we're obviously still fighting, and I think we're winning, because there is a lot of dialogue. It's in the newspaper constantly. It's on the radio constantly. And I think that a lot more people are seeing what we're saying and believing it, because people come up to me all the time, and when I run into people totally unsolicited, they say, you know, this hospital thing, I don't want it downtown. It just doesn't make any sense. And the more you think about it and the more you talk about it, the less sense it makes to build this downtown.
I got a question. Take a step back. Why wasn't this ever put up for referendum?
What is it
that caused this to go?
Rocco, it was never put up for referendum. It was not even put up for discussion.
If
you or your listeners want to start really delving into this, just go to our Facebook group, hashtag NoHospitalDowntown, or our website, NoHospitalDowntown.com, and start to read the foiled emails. And you will see that they wanted to eliminate all input because they thought that community input would, quote, derail their project. They referred to the public as idiots. It is so frightening when you see how these elected officials showed complete disdain, not only for the citizens of Utica, which is interesting, and the county, but also for elected officials in Herkimer, the disdain they showed toward those folks. It's unbelievable what we uncovered when one of the members of our group foiled 720 emails, which we affectionately refer to as hashtag emailgate.
I did see those, and they were rather eye-opening.
Yeah.
And hats off to you for getting your hands on those. Sometimes people forget that the most revealing information you can get is from an email. Now they're pushing forward with this with the eminent domain. And second of all, what I noticed, because it becomes so obvious, is they're ignoring anything that goes on from your side.
They're not ignoring it at all.
No, I mean they hold their little, they hold an event at a hotel and they want to put their own spin on things.
Invitation
on.
Only.
Yeah, it was. I did not get one. I'm waiting. It's
yes. And they limited who could get in. They even invited, and your listeners will get a kick out of this. They invited the Carpenters Union so that they could fill the room. But one of our members actually did slip in and spoke to the carpenters and said, "Hey guys, why are you here?" And they said, "We have no idea. Our union boss said fill the room."
That's what unions are good for.
So, and then you saw those poor business owners, by the way, none of them in the footprint, who think they're going to profit off this hospital going downtown, holding their little signs in front of them with their company names on it. I have to tell you, the optics for me made it look like it was a hostage situation and we needed to free those people. And trust me, we will.
The GE building, and I did, on Bleecker and Culver, which had been sitting empty for many years, which was thought of as a possible relocation point for some of the businesses, is now sold and being fixed up. So
well,
what happens to the theory that people might want to go east, young man?
Well, first and foremost,
they don't want to go anywhere.
Yeah, I know.
First and foremost, that building will take a long time to fix up, and a lot of millions of dollars. There's some confusion between location on Broad Street, the GE plants on Broad Street, and the one on Bleecker Street. The one on Bleecker Street was the radio receiver plant.
Yes, yes.
And that's the one that the city is talking about relocating some of the businesses. However, you have to realize that a lot of these businesses are storefront businesses. You can't just stick them in a mall. They are, you know, they depend on drive-up, walk-in business and all. And you can't easily take them out of the footprint and move them to East Utica, the east end of the city, basically, the east line of the city, when they're located right now in West Utica, because their customer base is in West Utica. Their clientele, their operation requires a storefront. And by the way, some of these businesses have huge pieces of machinery that isn't easily or even...
The printing gentleman for
sure. It's not something you just put in the back of your van and drive over to the other side of the city. And we're talking about an established business that has been there since, you know, the beginning of the century, the 19th century, or the 20th century, rather. You've got five generations of Metzlers that have been involved in the printing business. You've got three generations working on the fourth at Wilcor. And it would take millions of dollars to move the Wilcor operation somewhere else. They don't want to move. These people are passionately in favor of Utica.
I got that. Now, the problem that I find, or I'm looking for an answer, I don't know who to ask but you. The city and the county continue to plot along in a lock, you know, the procedural way. This mm-hmm. is what we're going to do. We're going to offer. We're going to run our time clock. And ultimately, they wind up in court. On the other side, there are the people that are stuck trying to figure out what to do and have no good options, Metzler Printing or the Wilcor.
Oh, they have a lot of good options, Rocco.
Well, their options are to try and dig their heels in. They've got you guys backing them up, and they can fight. But they're also going up against a county and a city that will just pour all sorts of money into making a point.
And money, does that not infuriate you?
It is our tax
you?
Money.
Well,
that
I
will be
about
used.
That every day. About that
right. It will money. Be our tax money that will be used in these court battles. But let me remind you of something that happened now 2 weeks ago. The Congresswoman finally weighed in to her credit. And she said, this is no longer a discussion about location. This is now a constitutional question. And she was right on point. We have constitutional protections for the right of private property. And this is now a federal issue, not a local issue. And for those who think it's going to be heard in some local court, they're sadly mistaken. This will be in a federal court. It will be moved to Rochester, far away from any biases that exist locally. And we will fight them. Now, we're on the 10th anniversary of a very famous Supreme Court case, Kelo. There's a movie coming out that we recommend all of your listeners to go see called Little Pink House, which will tell the story, which absolutely mirrors what's going on in Utica, of where government did in fact come in and take private property to give to another private entity. That entity ran out of money and you have a hole left and many, many lives destroyed. Now, in that Supreme Court ruling, it was a 5-4 ruling. The court today has a different makeup. We have been told by constitutional experts that they believe we could win by 6-3 now because of the new court's makeup that detest the ruling in Kelo that allowed that to happen to those poor people. And when you see Little Pink House, you will change your mind. I'll also ask your listeners to think about renting a movie that's currently out now. They can get it on demand. And it's called Citizen Jane.
Oh, yeah.
The Battle
in New York City. Oh,
the
yeah.
Battle for the City, yeah, where she, in fact, saved New York City. And here's a quote to share with you, Rocco. There is no logic that can be superimposed on the city. The people make it. It is to them, not buildings, that we must fit our plans. Jane Jacobs.
If I might, only because I was down there then, this was back when you had them tearing down houses and apartments to put in streets, and if I recall correctly, the heck was his name?
Robert Moses.
Robert Moses and tenement housing, skyscraper.
Well, he wanted to actually continue the street through
street. It's a
street and housing.
He wanted to drive right through the park down to Washington Square Park.
He was a little strange. He wanted to destroy Greenwich Village, and today, again for your listeners to realize, Soho today has some of the highest property values of any city in America, and that was going to be leveled as...
Oh, yeah, he was tearing down everything. It took a woman with a lot of noise. It's like what you're doing now.
A lot of guts.
Well,
a lot of love.
She was right, because he was pretty much pretty wild. He tore down everything.
Extremely powerful. He was never elected to any office.
That's true.
He was self-appointed, self-governing man, and he was the authority. He developed a lot of the bridges, the Long Island Expressway, and the New York State World's Fair back in 64-65. It goes on and on, and he just felt, and he did have quite a bit of power. He had an extreme amount of power, and here's this housewife from New York that said, no, Jane Jacobs, she was really a nobody.
She was able to stir the people up, though. Where are the folks? Where are the... And I ask because, again, I say that the city and the county plot along. Where's the hue and cry here?
Rocco, the last time I appeared with you, I know the professor here has been with you since my last appearance. Mm-hmm. The last time I appeared with you, we had 2,000 members. We're approaching 4,000 now. Our numbers are growing daily. But really, what Mike and I experience every day are the number of people, whether they work for the city or county, whether they work for MBHS, that come up to us and say, keep fighting the good fight. If we weren't worried about retribution and our jobs, we would be in the streets with you. There is so much support to stop this hospital and the bulldozing of this neighborhood. You can't even imagine. Our phones ring off the hook. Mike and I can't even walk into a restaurant, bar, pump gas without someone coming up and saying, aren't you guys the guys trying to save downtown? It's amazing. The support has been just terrific. And we know we're winning because when they have to go after us, as they did last week, to deflect from the true issues at hand, which is the violent nature of coming into a neighborhood, bulldozing it, and not just any neighborhood, an urban neighborhood that many of these politicians had never walked into, and calling it nothing but blight. You want to talk about an example of racism? That's racism. They want to flip the script. Let them try, because the public is not buying into it.
I just want to say one more thing about Little Pink House before we
leave
that subject. It, I believe, is going to be at the Capitol Theater Complex this coming week. So that's something that you all in Rome should go see. This is a real story. And it's a fascinating story that really will open your eyes, and I think it really will underscore a lot of what we've been talking about.
Oh, yeah. It's Friday at 4:15 and 7:15 at the Cinema Capitol.
And we love the
Saturday
Capitol
also.
Theater. So try to support it whenever you can. But I will tell you again, if you think you're on one side or the other, or even on the fence, go see Little Pink House, rent Citizen Jane, The Battle for Our City, and most importantly, come Tuesday night to hear one of the foremost authorities on everything urban, James Kunstler, 6 p.m. at the Fort Schuyler, open to the public.
And I know, Rocco, you and Rick have been supporting and have been promoting the Wilcor open house that we had last Thursday, which was, by the way, a phenomenal success. We had over 100 people there. People were fascinated. They had never been in the building because it's really not open to the public. But they could not believe what is in that building, what Wilcor does, and what we stand to lose by virtue of this hospital going in this proposed hospital going in this footprint. And by the way, we will be having another one in the series of open houses on Thursday, May 10th, again at 6 p.m. sharp. It's at the Turning Point Church, which is on the Columbia Street side. It's at 438 Columbia Street. It's a small storefront, small church, but their story is fascinating. And they really do serve that neighborhood, and they're very well needed and very well respected. So all these places have had plans to expand. They've had plans to expand into little cafes, into jazz clubs, rehabilitate or renovate their buildings. And all of this has been on hold for the last at least 3 years because of the specter of this hospital coming downtown. And by the way, when you talk about spending money on lawyers for eminent domain, and you talk about spending money on eminent domain in and of itself and taking properties, all this should be about health care or about renovating a neighborhood. You know, this is what the city is supposed to do, put money into neighborhoods to make them better. This is what we saw on Varick Street, and look at Varick Street now. This is what we saw in Bag Square around the Union Station. Look at that area now.
I got two questions that are problems in my mind. As people do sell, some of these people have agreed to sell. Maybe I've got an old building and I don't care, so I sell it. What's to prevent the MBHS from starting to tear down? Hear me out. Start to tear down some of these buildings. And what happens if, as the people who do sell, and things start to get torn down? If you're successful, we have buildings half torn down, or we have they run out of money through this process because money dries up. Do we have a potential mess on our hands if this goes and fits and starts? Why not a stop work order until this can be settled?
Rocco, we don't have to worry about that, because understand that even those who have agreed to sell have simply signed an option contract. They have not actually sold those properties. There is an option.
No money's changed hands.
To retain the right to buy it,
okay.
Yes, money has changed hands, because you have to have bargained for consideration for a contract to be valid. Now, that gives them the right to buy the property at the agreed upon price with a 5 or 10% deposit down in 18. If they don't do it in 18, they can then exercise it in 19, but again, they have to pay for that option. So as far as going forward, it's unlikely they will start to rip those buildings down. If we do start to see that, I think you'll see an outcry from the public, which you've never seen. But I want to address a point people forget to focus on, and that's the tax base. Let's assume for a minute, in a perfect world, Rocco, every single business got offered exactly what they needed and wanted for their building. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now they all leave. What we have guaranteed to the city of Utica taxpayer, and ultimately the county and the school district, most importantly, is that that neighborhood will forever be tax exempt and off the tax rolls. You're talking now about, when we last spoke, $300,000 of taxes, both city, county, and school taxes. But now that Enterprise Car Rental has opened, the first national car rental company in downtown Utica in 40 or 50 years, they're estimating, with their taxes to be paid in addition with sales tax, they will be generating another $50,000. So there's $350,000 to the tax base, in addition to opportunity costs for future taxes being paid by tax-paying businesses in that corridor. And then you have the cost of $700,000 to the Utica taxpayer for this ill-conceived parking garage. Now you're up to over $1 million a year in a swing of taxes. And we can't even repair our streets, Rocco.
No.
Plus, there's the CECRA process that has to be... they're going through that right now, but they can't tear anything down until that's complete. And there will be some opportunities, I believe, for the public to speak up on that as well.
Why... and this question came to me actually over the weekend. I was in the grocery store, and people asked, why are you so passionate about this when it doesn't affect... directly, because you don't have an office there, you're not being thrown out of an office there. It's not like your businesses are moving. What is it that's interesting so many people that aren't even down in that area?
Because I'm a taxpayer, and everyone in Rome is also a taxpayer to Oneida County, and it will affect everyone in your listening area that pays taxes to Oneida County or to the city of Utica. This is what concerns us. Basically, not only that there's a moral imperative here that this is incorrect, that there is a potential unconstitutional imperative with the eminent domain taking private property for a private not-for-profit hospital, but look at right now Utica just had a 6.8 percent tax increase.
Part of that was because they made a mistake in calculation.
And 9% last year on the county level. But let me address your question, because it's a really good
one. Please,
Jim Brock. When Brett Truitt and I began this journey 3 years ago, people asked that question, and they said, why? And one of the reasons, of course, was what Michael said, tax base. But more importantly than that, Rocco, I've been blessed in my life to have lived in a lot of cities, both here and abroad. And what I've noticed is the success of bringing back an urban core is not to focus on who arrives at 8 and leaves at 4, but who comes home at 4 and stays there at night, frequents the shops and businesses, and lives there on the weekends. We were promised in the 60s when you and I were kids and going to summer camp, Rocco, together, we were promised that when the state and the county office building were built and we took out those historic blocks, that it would save the Genesee Street shopping district and all the businesses on Genesee Street. Well, it did the exact opposite. It created a wall and an island there surrounded by parking spaces, which by 4:30 and in our winter months, which is 8 of them now, at 4:30 in the darkness, you don't want to walk around that area at night. We don't want to create another wall. As Jane Jacobs said, it's eyes in the restaurants, in the houses, in the shops that keep a neighborhood safe and vibrant. We just have a different view of this neighborhood. Where they came out on day one and pronounced that this was nothing but blight, we responded by saying, where they see blight, those in the 11th floor in the county office building, we see opportunity.
You know, I started off, you know, I grew up in New York Mills, but I've always been an advocate for the city of Utica, and I spent the last 40 or so years championing Utica, being a cheerleader for Utica. I got involved with the Landmark Society almost 25 years ago because I see what Utica has, not what it's lost. Okay, that is true, but what we can still preserve, what we still have, and what it takes to bring a city back. And I've been advocating a lot of these things for the past 40 years. A lot of the things that we've been seeing happening in the last 5 or 6 years, you know, businesses relocating, opening up in Utica, really vibrant businesses, young entrepreneurs with a lot of chutzpah and a lot of drive and passion for Utica because of the urban environment. What I'm seeing with the hospital proposal is that we're talking about continued suburbanization of an urban core. This is absolutely the antithesis of good urban planning. It does not work. It has been shown to have been a failure throughout the country. That's not how you make an urban city vibrant. You build on what you have. You build on the entrepreneurial efforts that are happening right now.
Other than lip service, and I say this straight out because I noticed that, well, it happens everywhere that I've lived, politicians are willing to come out and back something when they think they're on the right side of it. You have an election this year, so you've got Congresswoman Tenney running, Tony Brindisi's running, they've weighed in. Chuck Schumer, on any given day, will weigh in on almost anything. He doesn't like eminent domain. But have any of these people committed to being serious about throwing their weight behind your issues? because on the other side you've got the county executive who's set his feet in cement, and the mayor and the MVHS people. Who's putting their feet in on your side?
Rocco, that's an excellent question. Look, this is bigger than the city and the mayor. This is bigger than the county and the county executive, who, by the way, when the congresswoman came out and said this is now a federal constitutional question, and he proclaimed on the radio, on two other radio talk show mornings, he said, this is my county. Well, Tony, I'm here to tell you this is our county and not yours, and you work for us. What's exciting is that at the same Wilcor where we had the open house last week, the Friday before, we had the endorsed gubernatorial candidate for governor, libertarian candidate, Larry Sharp, who came to Utica and said, I will make this a cornerstone of my gubernatorial campaign. I will take this statewide, the plight going on in Utica against this eminent domain, against its citizens. So we have a gubernatorial candidate who's going to make it a statewide issue. The congresswoman is going to make it a federal issue, and she is right to do so. As she said, regardless of where you stand on location, we're now talking about stealing private tax-paying properties to give to a tax-exempt private property. It's ludicrous on every level. So we're well beyond some little mayor or some over-egotistical county executive. Tony, you work for us.
Are they going to come out and be here, though? And that's where, I'll tell you, that's where my problem is, because sitting in Washington or Albany or running between Washington and Albany is easy to, it's easy to put out a press release. Are they going to come and stand with somebody? And
well, Larry Sharp was here.
Larry Sharp.
He made it down there.
With regard to the congresswoman, she's going to go into a series of debates in the fall with Mr. Brindisi, the gentleman who wrote this ill-conceived legislation, which, by the way, again reminding your listeners, nowhere in the legislation is the word Utica or downtown used. You know, we have to give a big shout-out to you, Rocco, because when the professor and I started coming and talking on WKAL 1450 in the morning, a lot of your listeners in the towns and villages outside of Utica thought this was just a Utica fight or issue.
Yeah.
And now they're realizing they have a huge stake in this. They're going to be paying for a $43 million parking garage in downtown Utica that we're then going to hand the keys over and ownership to MVHS, who will set the price for event night parking. Ask any of your listeners who've gone to an event across upstate New York, whether it be Syracuse, Albany, Buffalo, or Rochester, event parking is $20 to $25 a night in any of those cities. Imagine what we're going to do. We're going to tax the Utica and county taxpayer, and then we're going to say, when you come down and support our Comets or Utica College or any of the great events in that neighborhood, we're going to then stick it to you. And because MVHS controls it, we're not going to have any say to what they charge.
And if you go to the hospital to visit a sick loved one, you'll be paying for that as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that's
there's
a
no
back
way,
step too.
There's no way that you're going to have any more free parking in any of the general vicinity of the auditorium or the proposed hospital, because that defeats the purpose. So you're going to have on-street parking
then
as well.
I've got to ask, this is not to stir up to stir you two up, but there's a common council in Utica, and there's a legislature in Oneida County. They meet once a month, and if you dust them off and sit them up in their chairs, they're there. Where are these folks? And why are they not saying anything? Because the county legislators go back to their districts looking at people whose taxes will go up.
They're changing. And because of coming on shows like yours, the legislators from the towns and villages are starting to get calls. So we recommend your listeners to call, express their concerns about this project going forward. Many of them have. We thank them for that. Write letters. But to their credit, I'd like to point out some folks that have been really looking at this issue on the Common Council. A champion of No Hospital Downtown and his concerns has been the Common Council president himself, Mike Galimi. We've also had the support of new council people. We invite those council members who may be unsure going forward to come to the open house at 6 p.m. at the Fort Schuyler to listen to James Kunstler. It could help them make their decision. And also, I want to remind you, it is not the mayor nor the county executive who can close roads in the city of Utica. It's the common council. And it is not either of those gentlemen I just listed who have any right to convey city property. That is a common council responsibility and duty. We believe at the end of the day the council members will wake up and realize this will be an albatross around the necks of the citizens of the city of Utica forever.
James Brock and Mike Bozak, I thank you for coming in, and we'll carry... Tell me about the open house at the Turning Point Church. That's on Thursday, May 10th. And what's going on tomorrow at the Fort Schuyler Club at 6 o'clock? Go over that again, please.
Okay, the open house is, again, at the Turning Point Church, which is in a small storefront on Columbia Street, 438 Columbia Street. And that is Thursday, May 10th at 6 p.m. sharp.
And tomorrow, May 1st, Tuesday, at the Fort Schuyler in downtown Utica on Genesee Street, we're inviting the public to listen to one of the foremost authorities on everything urban, a well-known lecturer and author of many books on this subject, James Howard Kunstler. That's 6 p.m. at the Fort Schuyler, open to the public, first come, first serve. But I ask those listeners of yours, whether you're on the fence or you're with us or you're against us, inform yourself. Stop listening or reading what you're reading in the OD of the one-sided coverage, and come and actually hear the experts who have made their life's commitment and career to saving urban settings just like downtown Utica.
I have to say the Kemp building was sold, which came out of I was the last one with an office there when it finally sold after, my God, it's been on the market 10 years. I guess there's hope for almost anything because somebody's going to fix it up, put lofts in there, and put storefronts back on the Genesee Street side. So I guess miracles can happen.
And they have been.
Miracles are happening.
This is not just in Utica. It's not just a Utica phenomenon. But a lot of the Northeast has been going through this renaissance. Again, a lot of our young people, the millennials and all that.
They
want to
come back
really,
downtown.
They have a
but
desire.
They don't want to live next to an emergency room.
Right? They really don't.
Nobody wants to choose to live next to a big box surrounded by 3,000 parking spaces. And notice the design of it. It's not even an urban design. It's a suburban design, long and sprawled out.
It's got a shopping center look.
It does have a shopping center look. And what's even more peculiar is they're planning for 3,000 cars when on any given day the demand for the hospital would be 1,200. So it's absolutely ludicrous when you peel back the onion. And it begs the question, which Mike and I are very concerned about, is a lot of this push by the county executive all about Ray Hulbrider and putting the casino downtown and using this parking lot for the casino? Because he has said he will not come downtown without the parking garage. And we also know the hospital's not coming downtown without it.
That's true.
So we kill the garage, we kill the casino, and the hospital. Get your listeners motivated to help us do that.
One question that you may not have an answer to that I've been asked a few times. Some of the talk in the emails was that this hospital had to go into what they call the population center, which mm-hmm. is where they're trying to squeeze in Utica. The question was raised to me by a guest a couple of weeks ago, and I saw that you were on the calendar, so I'll throw this out to you. Since they're always referring to every area has a metropolitan statistical area, Utica and Rome is it. Why? What precludes the hospital from being located somewhere else within that metropolitan statistical area? Because that technically is supposed to be the population.
That's exactly
center.
What we're talking
yeah,
about.
Nothing so precludes it, Rocco. Good question.
It doesn't have to go to St. Luke's, but it doesn't have to go downtown
no.
either. Why has they not looked
at it? It has to be located within the population center. In other words, it needs to be in the greater Utica area, but it can't be placed, say, in Boonville.
No.
They want it near the largest population center, not in the downtown section.
But within that metropolitan statistical area, there is, there's road access, and there's already sewers, and there's
sure.
already electricity, and there's always highway.
Well, look at the St. Luke's campus. I mean, that was designed, basically, that access, four-lane road right to the...
But with people pulling their hair out over that one, I've never heard any other remote option at all.
That's because they never studied another remote option.
Oh, all right.
This was forced downtown. Emailgate shows that. To their credit, the MVHS board said, okay, we will approve this downtown location, but we'll also unanimously approve the St. Luke's campus as the alternate site if it is proven that it is not feasible for this thing to go downtown. So they were very smart in their wisdom to do that. But let's talk about population center because it's a great question. If you take the populations of South Utica, West Utica, Whitestown, Kirkland, and New Hartford, you will find the population center is right smack at St. Luke's. So this whole idea that it has to be forced downtown when the legislation makes no mention of either Utica or downtown is absolutely a sham. It's perpetrated by the politicians, and poor MVHS has been dragged along, and the emails prove it, kicking and screaming, saying, we don't want to go downtown. Give us the full $300 million. You talked about infrastructure, Rocco. The infrastructure in the Columbia-Lafayette Street corridor is some of the oldest, most decrepit in the city. If you build it there, a very large portion, between $100 to $150 million of it, will go for the infrastructure and cleanup alone of that neighborhood, when we could have the full $300 million going to health care. I gave 20 years of my life of service to both Faxton and then Faxton St. Luke's foundation boards. I worked very hard. I was born at Faxton. My family before me raised money for Faxton for years. Yeah. We have one of the treatment rooms in the cancer center named after my family. I have been an advocate of healthcare in this community. I want the full $300 million to go to healthcare and to go to the campus at St. Luke's.
And by the way, MVHS, when they were looking at expansion, this is a multi-year project that had been going on at least five or more years back. They were all set to build and expand at St. Luke's campus. I mean, they've acquired property over decades to get to that 64 acres. And I've said in the past, the powers that be will throw out that, oh, well, there are wetlands up there we need to consider. Well, it's only 6 acres of wetlands out of 64 acres a possible buildable site. Oh, there's going to be too much disruption with the existing hospital. Well, they do this every day. Everyone, you know, any expansion that they had at St. Luke's.
Rocco, they doubled St. Luke's. Think about this. They doubled the size of St. Luke's when they built the Allen Calder wing, and not for one moment where service is disrupted. So this idea, they've thrown these red herrings out there. Oh, service will be disrupted. We can't build it. And yet their own former chair of the board, the Honorable Norm Siegel, at the South Utica meeting 2 years ago, said, we can build it there. There will be no disruption of services. It will be cheaper. We can use surface parking and not garage. And he also said that the issue of wetlands is, again, a red herring. The wetlands were created when additional roadways were put in, and they're on either side of some of those roadways. Even those wetlands are man-made, and it's only 6 acres.
To your knowledge, has Utica College griped about having this go up there?
No. As a matter of fact, the former president, who I have utmost respect for, Todd Hutton, which he was in a difficult position being on the MVHS board, was opposed to losing this hospital across the street, because he had a vision, and of course what a visionary he was in where he took Utica College from where it was to where it is today. He had a vision of the UC becoming the UU. And one of the ways you do that is by having graduate programs. And we want to see the synergy. You know, the other side likes to talk about eds and meds, but the only thing they're moving downtown is the meds. We have perfect synergy for the eds and meds at the St. Luke's campus. It will be built there, Rocco, if it's built anywhere.
It is difficult to argue with you guys. Definitely,
you're being
sure.
Double-teamed.
You come in well-prepared, because the questions do come up after you're on the air. Within this next week, people will stop me, and they call and they write, and hoping to get answers to questions. And one of the frustrations, I'll tell you, is that the other side, there's just two sides to this, has the newspaper and has at their disposal just instant communication.
They have the bully pulpit.
And I think that's part of the frustration.
When are you going to claim your? And you have. It's not like you've been silent people. When? And I've asked you this a couple of times. When when does this gel for your side and bam?
Well,
or something?
We're starting to see it gel, and I'll give you an example, and this is hot off the press. We're starting to see MVHS begin to negotiate with some property owners to take them out of the footprint. This is the beginning of the erosion. And once they start to take one out, they will have to take more out. You can't simply say, well, we like you better, we'll take you out, but we're not going to take the Corrigans out, Wilcor International. So we're starting to see a crack in their armor, if you will. We're going to see it happen. I would estimate that you will probably see it in the next week to 2 weeks, where they will start to cut property owners out of the footprint. So we're already making progress. We're already saving businesses, but we will not rest. Myself, Landmark Society, Mike, the professor, as I like to call him, we will not rest till every single property owner is taken out of that footprint who would like to remain.
And here's another thing, too. As we connect the dots and all, a lot of people are realizing that the parking garage issue is, again, as much about this proposed casino as it is about a hospital. And most people don't...
Well, that's not mentioned often, but there's a...
Well, I'm mentioning it now.
Yeah.
And
you know
the casino...
Why? They don't want to mention it. It was recently polled 80-20. 80-20, Rocco. 80% of the population polled said no casino downtown. That's why you have not heard the C word come out of the county executive's mouth. He knows how toxic it is. Brindisi knows how toxic it is. But Ray Hallbritter has made it clear, and it has been reported to us by some of his folks, Ray won't come downtown without that garage. So for your listeners, don't forget that lurking in the background, hidden in the shadows, is Ray Hallbritter's casino in downtown Utica.
And we've all heard about just how the casinos are failing in Del Lago and Schenectady. We're oversaturated with casinos. We don't need one in downtown Utica, believe me.
I want to thank Jim Brock and Mike Bozak. I want to recommend three things, actually. Little Pink House I have not seen, but I can tell you Citizen Jane is phenomenal, and it's actually very accurate of what happened. Even though New York is a bigger city, what happened there actually happened here in Rome and in Utica with urban renewal, and you've got to be careful when you're giving up all of your rights to an entity like a city or a county. But if you can get Citizen Jane, it's wonderful. Tuesday, May 1st, 6 o'clock, Fort Schuyler Club, James Howard Kunstler is going to be there, and that's a real get for an area like this. Author of many books on the destruction of downtowns and what goes in their place. My big fear is that we'll start it and it won't get completed, and we're going to have it, believe it or not, worse down there. That's something that I can't get an answer to, because if they start and the money goes, there's going to be cost overruns, of course. Where is the extra money going to come from? And you could wind up, like some cities have, with part of your neighborhood torn down, nothing built, looking
which
worse
than
exactly
it did before. Which is exactly what happened in Little Pink House in the Kelo case.
And contact information if people wanted to find out something, please.
Oh, that's great. Please, if you're on Facebook, put in the hashtag sign, capital N-O, no hospital downtown. It'll pop up. Ask to join. You can read these emails. And when you do, be prepared to see things these politicians have said that they don't say publicly, but wait till you see them in the emails. Again, hashtag No Hospital Downtown Group on Facebook. If I see your name, I'll approve you. So join that effort. You can also go to our website at www.nohospitaldowntown.com. Mike, tell us about what they can learn at the Landmark Society.
Well, the Landmark Society website is uticalandmarks.org. Also, we're on Facebook, so you can like us there. We are a general Utica, greater Utica area advocate for preservation.
I want to thank you both for coming in. Anytime you need to.
Anytime you want us, and you know what? We turned down all the others to come to you this morning, and we're glad we did.
And I thank you very much. And we're going to rerun this for those listening. We're going to rerun this show on Behind the Headlines on Sunday. If you need more information, we will certainly give it to you. Just write us here at WKAL or call 337-952.